Welcome to the bonus Q&A for episode 80 of the Kit and Krista podcast. That's another 10 podcasts down.
Yeah. How exciting.
Way to go. Is it too early to think about 100? Is it?
No, it's never too early to think about 100.
Okay.
It's a milestone. It's coming up.
Good. Well, we'll do that later. We got some great questions today, though. We are starting off with an interesting one, which was a follow-up from a previous question that we answered. It's from Medallion 2889, and it goes, please regale us with tales from the Nintendo lavatories, in parentheses, strictly for the bonus Q&A.
You can't see my face right now, but I'm making a bad face.
So what did we were saying before, oh yes, that I would get cornered by people in the bathroom, these extroverts, and have to have these conversations while they spoke to me loudly in the tiled bathroom where the sound would just reverberate through, I think, the whole building.
Exactly.
But there's a lot more to it.
There's a lot more to it. Now, you definitely had dealt with a lot in the men's room. There was certain people that would bring food. I've heard this from many of the men in the office of Tess told me the same story.
Well, I can tell that part.
Story.
I'll tell the men's room. You tell the women's room, okay?
Okay. You tell the men's room. Because
I think
first.
You have one that is maybe too extreme, even for the bonus Q&A.
I don't think I'm going to tell that one.
Okay, good.
That's too much.
Well, yes. Bringing food in there was, I wouldn't say a common occurrence, but it was more common than it needed to be. I mean,
exactly.
How about never doing that?
Yes.
Like there were times, sometimes we would have like catered lunch for like some special event that was happening. You would see people literally bringing in a plate of food, leave
not
it on
covered,
the sink.
Not covered,
just out and go do whatever, you know, business you're going to do while the plumes of filth just shoot up everywhere around you.
Oh God.
Sometimes people would, I also saw somebody just bring in like an apple and set that on a counter, like with no like napkin or just on the counter.
I've heard that story multiple times
and
from
multiple
people.
Wow, what
people.
Is going on in this person's life? Another one, this was strictly one person who did this, and this person had a lot of other shortcomings. This person would go into the bathroom stall and watch YouTube videos at maximum volume.
Yes.
So, like, you would walk in there and hear, like, some movie trailer with the Hans Zimmer music just blasting. You're like, well, I know who's in there.
Right.
So there was a wide range of bad behaviors that just made me wonder, like, what happened in your youth to make you like this?
Exactly.
Something it's happened. You were not
so
taught a valuable lesson about bathroom etiquette.
There's some, like, piece missing. Like, there's some connection in your brain that may be missing here. I don't know what's happening to you, but that's a wow. In the women's restroom, we also had a very similar, there was one culprit who would always go into the same stall and do the same thing. Instead of YouTube videos, it would be K-pop music videos.
And so instantly, I know exactly who this is.
Of course. And of course, when you walked in and you would hear the K-pop music, you know who was in there. We had a nickname. We say it's Code Brown. Code Brown meant like that person was in the stall doing her dirty business and watching K-pop music videos. So that was very strange. And it was very often. Like sometimes it would be for like 30 plus minutes. This person would sit in the bathroom and watch the videos. Which was crazy if you think about it. If you're like, where are you? You're not at your desk because you're in the bathroom watching K-pop videos. So that was one that was very strange. The other thing that's not so fun that used to happen in the women's restroom a lot was crying. You never
I
know.
I shouldn't laugh, but
you never
that's my
know
reaction.
If you're gonna go into the bathroom and someone's gonna be like uncontrollably sobbing. That this has happened to me,
could
just
be you.
Me. I was not crying in the bathroom, but I have walked in on somebody crying in the bathroom, like in my time at Nintendo, at least 5 or 6 times. Just me. And many women in the office would say like, oh, I walked in and I saw so-and-so crying.
So do you mean, I have to ask some follow-up questions. Do you mean just like out in the open or like you heard it coming from the bathroom stall?
Usually
or like
it
what?
Was just, they were like at the sink, like trying to get cleaned up because
I'm trying to be sensitive, but is there not a better place to do this?
I would cry in my car. So
right.
I would think that was a good place to cry.
Like leave the office. Maybe they just couldn't make it.
you can't make.
Like sometimes me with my vomiting, I had just had to get to the room.
Right.
Before I let
right.
it out.
That's true. Because sometimes you just can't hold back the tears.
Okay.
I've definitely cried in your office before. I've cried in my own office. I've cried in our boss's office before. I've definitely cried in my car. And I've cried a lot at home in the shower. I recommend crying at home in the shower because when the water washes on your face, then it mixes with the tears and you're fine. But
it's like it's not even happening.
It's like it's not even, exactly.
Yeah, barely even count.
Just get it all out and then it just mixes in with the shower water and you just move on with your life. But yeah, I've never actually cried out in the restroom. So it was always just like this really like awful situation. You walk into the bathroom and this person is very upset, clearly. They're like, you know, grabbing all the tissues all around the bathroom, trying to get cleaned up. And you kind of want to comfort them, but you also don't want to make it worse. Because everyone knows, right? Everyone here knows if a woman is crying and you ask her, are you okay? They will cry more. You don't do that because that's not the right thing to ask. And you just, yeah, it just sucks. Like you just, like, can I give you a hug? Like, what can I do? Like nothing, because the person's upset and they're going to be upset until they're not upset. So yeah, that would happen a lot in the bathroom all the time. There was one time where there was a trail of blood that led to the women's room, like droplets of blood all along the floor from like a conference room all the way to the
women's room. I remember this. Yes.
And we were like, someone getting murdered. Someone getting like shivved in the conference room because they like presented a bad marketing idea. Like someone stabbed. Okay, with bloody nose. But that happened.
Wow.
And then there's another story that I'm not going to tell because it was just too
terrible. It's beyond.
It is horrifying.
Even the bonus Q&A.
Yeah. Maybe if we, I don't know, maybe there's an after dark or something like that.
When we're really ready to burn this whole thing down.
Yeah. I'll save it for
I had a theory about bathrooms, which is, so, you know, at Nintendo, we had, you know, one bathroom for men, another bathroom for women. And now, you know, a lot of restaurants or we'll go to events. It's like everybody just use the same bathroom.
And I
thought, you know, that could be the end of these sorts of problems because, in the men's room, it's like, hey, it's guys doing guy stuff. We're just putting food down and, you know, farting on each other. Cool. Like, I feel like if they had the prospect of a woman cross, they'd be like, ew, that's, you know, keep them on their good behavior, maybe. I don't know. What do you think of that?
I'm all for the gender neutral bathrooms.
I am too.
I think that we should just, everyone needs to do their business. There's no difference between a man and a woman.
But don't you think this would prevent
anyone else
these weird things from happening? Or are they just so far beyond removed from reality and self-awareness?
I think that person is so far from reality. They would put an apple down in front of a woman on the
bathroom. But the K-pop rip then.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. The Nintendo bathrooms it was a death trap. Try not to pee. Sometimes you're so busy you don't pee anyway, so it's fine.
Next question, now that we're all warmed up, is from VGM Life. Hi, Kit and Krista. The Wii launched in 2006 with NES, SNES, and N64 virtual console releases. That was 17 years ago, and we've yet to see GameCube virtual console games available. Why do you think that is, and do you think Switch 2 will feature it? Thanks.
Yeah, GameCube seems to be like the big like gap with all of these, you know, virtual console or ways to play your games on your older consoles. That seems to be like the biggest one. I personally would love to have some sort of GameCube virtual console to play some of those old games. But yeah, I wonder if Nintendo just sees like, they still think of GameCube as sort of like a lost era and it was not a good era for Nintendo. So they may not see like the super, you know, importance or appeal of that particular console or focusing on that console. I think they're much more interested in like, for example, bringing like SNES, which is like a very positive generation for them, to modern hardware. So I do wonder if that has something to do with it, you know, like, gosh, this wasn't a very good time for us and maybe we shouldn't focus on it.
I wonder if also they maybe see kind of a break between N64 and GameCube of like, well, that's really the retro stuff and GameCube feels more modern. Like, again, like we have now examples of GameCube games that you just kind of clean up and you can release and you can sell it for a lot more money. So maybe they're thinking like, yeah, like people still remember those more. There's still, you know, those still feel and play like games closer to games that are made today. So there's more that we can do with it rather than just dumping it on NSO. Obviously, they have to actually do that then, which they haven't done a great job of. But, you know, to the whole general point of the question, like, I don't know why, but something happened after Virtual Console where the retro stuff just got kind of backburnered, I feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nintendo is still, you know, it has resource constraints as a company, and I think they're just focused on other things. I don't know why. Again, I think this could be such a great addition either for NSO if they really were focused on building out that library or whatever else that they want to do with it. There was a guy at NOA who was kind of like the NOA lead on things like Virtual Console. And sometimes I would ask him like, hey, what is the strategy with this? Like, what's the big picture of this? And like, he could never really answer it. And usually if you ask that question about anything else, they would be like, well, let me tell you, here's the deal. And like, whether it made sense or not, like they would have it. Like this was, I could never get a clear answer from anybody on this, on just retro games in general, even when it was Virtual Console. And the general plan for NSO. Those were the two things I could never get a clean answer on.
Yeah, it was really strange. It was like a little cagey, but I agree with you that Nintendo has never put a huge emphasis or a lot of resources on keeping up with all that stuff. So that's just sort of what they do. I do hope that they, you know, have found some success with NSO or they learned a thing or two or whatever. To improve that for the next hardware.
Next question is from Daichi. Hey, Kit, how close were you to becoming the president of NOA? You were one of the few who knew of the sequel of Breath of the Wild, so you must have been up there with Doug Bowser, right? So let's see how many layers there were between me and Doug Bowser. So for a time... There was me... my boss, and then she reported directly to Doug Bowser and Reggie.
Yeah.
Eventually, though, they added another layer where there was like the head of marketing and this guy overtook like communications as well. So there was another layer. But there's just not a lot of layers at Nintendo to begin with. So I, you know, even though that was like two layers removed, like I never thought like, oh, I'm moments away from becoming the president of NOA. Like I just didn't think of it that way.
Yeah, you were very close to the top, I would say, because you were like really involved in all of that like high level executive stuff. But you're right; there's like the organization is really lean, as they call it, which just means that they have less people doing a lot of work, which sometimes is good and bad. But yeah, I think the other thing about Nintendo, and it's true for both NOA and Nintendo in Japan, is it's very like success. If anyone watches Succession, it's kind of like Succession, where there's already like an heir for that job. Like when Reggie was leaving and retiring, like they had already figured out like who the next person was going to be, and then they figured out who was going to replace Doug in his current role. But it's like one of those things where it's very hierarchical, and it's not like they're going to like, you know, just find somebody off the street to like take that job. It's like I'm next in line for this, and then you're next in line for my job, and then you're next in line for that person's job. It that's how it works there, which is like kind of a little bit more old school, I would say.
Yeah, that was something that they would ask us to think about, of like, well, you know, if you had to leave your job tomorrow, like who would be the person who could step up and take it over? And I think that's a good thing to think about, because some people just get so entrenched. They're like, nothing will ever change. I'll always be here.
Yeah.
Until I'm a statue. So that's a good way to look at it. The part of working on the sequel of Breath of the Wild, like that was really because I was kind of the swan song of my role overseeing Breath of the Wild into Tears of the Kingdom. So it was like, well, he knows, you know, he kind of knows the drill as far as how we want to handle this game. He's done so much on this already. Like, he's a safe pick. He understands the team and what they want to do. So it made sense to do that, even though that was literally like probably 10 people or less who knew about that. Sharif Jackson's next. I've been playing a lot of Diablo, and it reminds me that hell was definitely a curse word I couldn't say around my parents. How did your parents feel about cursing? Could you get away with a darn or a damn or anything harsher? We have very different perspectives on this.
Yeah. we have different perspectives. My mom is pretty conservative as well. But the thing is that she doesn't speak English.
I think this is the key.
English is not her first language. So a lot of slang or a lot of words. I mean, obviously you knew like the F word was bad. I wouldn't say the F word in front of my mother. But yeah, like a hell or a damn or something like that. Definitely was in my vocabulary. I actually have a sailor mouth, so I am not a good example of proper to not be bad and say a bunch of curse words because I curse a lot. But that was not how, you know, I didn't grow up with my parents telling me that I couldn't say these words. So they didn't know what these words were because they didn't speak English. So that's why.
Yeah, a lot of my friends growing up were in that same position where their parents had come here. And it was a lot of the same stuff, whereas like I think that's the perception, is like they don't necessarily know those words as well. So my parents, though, it was very strict. Like I have never said those words, even a hell or a damn, around my parents, and I probably never will. It's just like it was just something that you didn't do. Yeah. Now, there were times where not my mom, but I did hear my dad let some out occasionally, usually when he was like doing yard work and like stub his toe or something, he would let one out. But it was just kind of some like unwritten rule of the house where it's like, you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But again, like, you know, when we're, you know, not doing this and doing other stuff, like I also have the sailor mouth too, but it's just like, there's a time and place for some of this stuff.
That's true.
So yeah, it's interesting how everybody's got kind of their own take on that with whatever their family was doing. Yeah. Ninja 11 asks, "Hey Kit and Krista, you mentioned one of the downsides to your jobs at Nintendo was that you needed to get spoiled on every game. Mm. Why is that? For example, when you were marketing a Fire Emblem game, why do you got to know who lives and dies?" It's a great question.
That's a good question. And sometimes I'm like, do I really need to know this? Or is it just because you want to tell me? But what part of our job is to really understand what makes a game unique, special, what is going to make someone interested in playing this game. And find a way to communicate that outward, whether it's to media or to creators or to just the general audience, in a compelling way. So like when we would get like an information dump on the game, basically from the Treehouse, which is our like product experts. And they would just basically tell us like everything that is going on in this game. And it's kind of our job to like distill some of that down to figure out like which nuggets of this is really special about this game and cool and interesting, what makes it different than other games in the series. And a lot of the times with bigger story-based games, it was those like big spoiler moments, you know? To a degree, we did need to know some of those things. Sometimes I feel like they were like trolling me. They're like, haha, now I'm going to spoil it for you because I know that you don't want to know. But we definitely needed to know a lot of information about a game to do our job. So,
yeah, I remember Fire Emblem. Was it Three Houses? Was one where they really took a lot of glee in telling you
it all. They really did, and Awakening too, because that had a big twist.
Yeah, same person in the Treehouse working on those. Surprise!
A little vindictive. I think she didn't, she got spoiled, and she was like, "I'm not ruining it for everybody else." Now everybody's
getting spoiled.
Yeah, I'm not ruining for everybody else. Like, okay.
I care less about spoilers, so I was more okay with it, I think. But so you, again, using Breath of the Wild as an example, when we did our big cover story with Game Informer, we were going back and forth about, should we show them one of the bosses at the end of the Divine Beast? And I did kind of need, and their initial thinking was like, we can't show them that. We need to save that. That's got to be a surprise. So I did have to ask a lot of questions of like, how do you encounter bosses in this game? How many bosses are there? Where does this fit into sort of the big picture story of the game? Just to know, like, is this going to be an adequate chunk of what they're seeing for them to feel satisfied to write a good story? So that's an example of a time where I did sort of need to dig a little bit deeper. A lot of the time, though, for most games, it was not necessary for us to know the deepest details. Again, though, the one that sort of stings the most was Super Mario 3D Land, where, again, there's the whole other second half of the game, which they just neglected to tell us about for reasons that remain mysterious and potentially mean.
Yeah.
Again, it's not something we needed to know, but it's like, I feel like my perception of that game and the way maybe I was presenting that game was completely wrong because I didn't know.
Yeah. You thought it was like such a super shallow game and you're like, wait, that's only 50% of it. There's another 50% right. that I didn't know about to be able to do my job.
Right.
I have to shout out like one of our good friends who no longer works at Nintendo, but we love. And my first project with this person was Skyward Sword. And he was so sensitive. He was like, okay, I don't want to spoil you, but I'm going to tell you like these things. Are you okay with that? Like, that's when I knew like I'm going to be friends with this person forever because he was so nice about it. And he was the writer on this game, so he knew everything. But yeah, I was able to do my whole job and actually do it well. And I was not spoiled because this person was actually very considerate. So good on him.
Furlio has a question. Do you find that the older you get, the less patience you have? What are some recent things that made you lose your patience?
I'm very impatient in general, and I get bored. I think my problem is I get bored so
You really
easily.
Do.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, I know exactly what made me really annoyed, like recently. You and I.
Am I involved?
Yes.
Good, because I have one about you, too.
Good. you and I have been playing a lot of Diablo, and we sort of yes. have like an unspoken thing where it's like around like 8:30-ish is when we all jump online, and like usually I send the invite, and we like get going. But this one night, you were like declining all of my invites. And I was like, can you just please? And then you texted me and you're like, I'm doing like a barbarian thing. I need like more time. And I was like waiting around and I was so bored. And I was
like, well, what were you doing? You can go play the game. You don't need to wait for me. I can just pick up whenever.
No. I don't want to get in the middle
of something. So
that's
a game that you cannot pause. If you're in a battle and you press the pause button, they just keep attacking you. So I cannot respond to your incessant text messages or invites more than just to decline it because I'm in the middle of this thing. Imagine pause. That. Somebody else could be doing a thing that doesn't involve you. Imagine that.
It was annoying. I was so bored. I had to wait like 15 minutes.
Oh no, 15 minutes of time that you could have spent doing some
I was
sorceress
bored.
Doing your
I
nails
already
as a sorcerer.
Did stuff, but I
know.
Was ready to go. That's my recent time. But I am very impatient and I'm very bored easily. So everything annoys me. Pretty much everything annoys me. If it's not like exactly how I want, right when I want it, I get annoyed.
Yeah. Well, now that we have Starfield, the Diablo play sessions have been canceled with great violence.
We have burned our characters. And
we got that code yesterday, those codes. And we were planning to play Diablo, and you're like, yeah, that ain't happening.
Yeah, sorry.
That's never happening again, actually.
I'll be in the stars for like until like 2056,
okay.
So bye.
All right, well, I guess I'll be playing Diablo on the side by myself.
You're not playing on the side. Give me a break.
The thing about you with patience and my patience is – so sometimes you'll be presented with two options where it's like, I actually don't know – which one of these is right. And what I will do is I'll just make a quick reaction of like, well, which one seems the most right? And we'll go with that. And if it's wrong, we'll figure it out. This often happens when we're like walking around and there's like two signs and you'll just sort of sit there and like, oh, left or right. And like, I don't know what's happening, but it's like, well, I think it's, you know, 60%, the answer is going to be right. So let's just go right. And you're just, well, we could look at, well, I don't know. And I'm like, let's go. So just like sitting around like that, just like drives me kind of nuts. It's like, let's just keep moving. Just keep moving.
You really want to keep moving.
Keep moving at all times. Do not stop.
The wrong direction.
It's fine. If it's wrong, then we'll know it's wrong and we'll be able to turn around. We will know quickly if it's wrong.
Okay.
Yes.
Sometimes it's like just take 1 second. Like it takes 20 seconds to just.
I don't have 20 seconds. We got to keep going.
That's a lot of walking around.
The other thing, this doesn't involve
you. Oh, there's more?
You'll dislike this one too. So I have a family member who I go out to dinner with occasionally, and at a restaurant, they'll bring you the menu. You look at the menu, and the person comes, you order. This person, I guess, just doesn't look at the menu. And then the waiter or the waitress will come. They'll be like, so what would you like? And they'll just kind of stare blankly like, and then they'll start looking at the menu. Pick the menu. Look at what you want. What are you, what's going on here? You have you, this is your first time in a restaurant? You know how
that's
this works.
Annoying. I don't, I do not like that.
Be ready.
I hate it when the waitress or waiter comes and they're like, is everybody ready to order? And everyone's like, yes. And one person's like, no.
You're
like, the hell? You better be ready. Okay. Like,
because
I'm hungry.
Sometimes when you send them away, like they really take a long time
that's
coming back.
Thing.
Why is that?
I don't like that. And I don't like when you can't get the check. Like, please.
Oh, that's right. That triggers me in a big way.
Just give me the check now. I'll pay for it now.
See, like, yes. I don't like sit in other here. Countries, like you can pay in advance. They'll have
I
you
would
pay,
love to pay in advance.
Like, it's great. Yes.
Give it to me.
Or they will like bring it with the food. Like, and they yes. might, some places here think that's rude maybe where
no.
it's like telling you to get out. It's like, no.
No.
I'm in control now of how much time I'm spending.
Exactly. I don't want to sit around and like look at my empty plate when
right.
I want to leave. Because you won't
I'm
be
ready
check.
To leave.
Every time, every minute that goes
yeah,
by.
We were at a restaurant where that was happening and I just put my hand up and you seemed oh. appalled at this, but
no,
cause the guy came.
Eventually somebody came.
Yeah. Because it was getting out. It was, we were at an airport first of all. So it was like, we had, you know, time was of the essence.
Oh yeah. That's right.
And
it was that
I was tired of waiting too. So I was like, guess what? This is what you get now. I'm getting the, putting the hand
at
up.
The airport. They should be very cognizant right. of your time when you're eating at a place.
Exactly.
Anyways.
So the answer is yes for Leon.
We are annoyed right now.
We're very impatient.
At each other.
Last question. Another parenting question from Vigmictor. Growing up, how did your parents treat mealtime? Did your parents emphasize eating breakfast in the morning before school? Was dinner always the same time every night? Did breakfast and dinner have to be eaten at the table? Or were they more fast and loose about when and where food was eaten in the house? How strict were they on proper table manners? Proper use of eating utensils? Oh. Did you need to finish everything on your plate, or was it okay to leave parts of your meal uneaten? Multi-part question.
A lot of things to tackle here. So dinner was always very important, and that was a meal eaten at the table properly. You know, proper meal eaten at the table, proper utensils. You cannot just wander off during that meal. Breakfast was pretty, like, on the go because I was always late for school. So my mom would just give me, like, a Pop-Tart and, like, a banana and then send me on my way. So I would just usually, like, grab something and go for breakfast. But, yeah, dinner time, my mom is an excellent cook and would make, like, multi dishes for dinner. The interesting thing that you asked about utensils is that, like, since I'm Chinese, we only just use chopsticks or spoons, I guess. And I actually didn't really know how to use, like, a knife and fork. Or we never ate out either. My family and I, when I was growing up, barely went to, like, restaurants that were not just, like, other Chinese restaurants. Like, we never went to, like, American restaurants. So I remember when I was about, like, 11 or 12, my mom basically gave me this, like, Miss Manners book. That taught me everything I know now about, like, eating at, like, a Western style restaurant, like which fork to use. It had everything in there, like how to, you know, put your napkin in your lap and how the service would work, like glasses that are bread plates and where everything goes. It's a little very complicated if you never grew up like that. Like, I had no idea that there was two different forks. There's a fish fork sometimes.
Sometimes it can get a little out of control.
Yeah. And I was really glad. Like, I remember everything from that book so well. It's, like, ingrained in my head about, like, how to eat at a restaurant. There was, like, other stuff in there, too, like how to, like, shake hands with somebody when you meet them. Like, it was, like, literally, how to cross your legs. Like, it's, like, a Miss Manners, like, how to be a proper lady book. It was so funny. But that's how I learned. But
do you still have this book?
I don't think so. I don't know where it is. I don't think so.
Because there's a lot of that stuff that, like, I probably know, 75% of that stuff. But I think there's a lot of it. There's, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm so glad that she made me read that book.
Because there is a whole world of etiquette that can go pretty deep.
It is all etiquette. And I'm like, and when you go to different countries, like, we both travel a lot now. And I've learned so much traveling and eating in different restaurants around the world. Like, how they use utensils or whatever. Like, that's, like, such an interesting thing, you know?
Or sometimes when I'm scrolling TikTok, there's a guy that I'll get who is, like, the etiquette guy. I don't know why that my algorithm thinks I want this, but this guy is telling you, it's like, okay, so if you're in this setting and if you're having this beverage, here's how you open it. Here's how you serve it. Here's how you drink it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, like you can get really in your head with all of this stuff of like, oh no, I'm offending somebody at every given moment.
There's like so many rules. Like if you're a woman and you have like a purse and a coat and whatever, like this is how you're supposed to like put it down in a restaurant, put it like, there's so many different things. Like, it helps you, I guess, avoid like awkward situations. But yeah, when I first went to like my first big, like fancy meal, with multiple forks, I was like, thank God.
What are your big table? Like there's a million table manners, but like what are one or two that you care about the most?
I don't like people that talk while they eat.
Yeah, chewing with your mouth closed and not talking with
spitting.
Yeah, those are kind of my only one, actually.
I also don't like people that like cut too hard on a plate
and like shaking the table,
or like it makes that like nails in the chalkboard sound, and that just like it just like brings you out of, you're like trying to eat your food. It's like that's weird, you know, like the scraping. Or the other one is when you put the fork in your mouth and you like use your teeth to get the food off the fork. So it goes like it makes that like that tinny sound. I don't like that.
I have one more. This is the problem of the restaurant. Like they should plan for this. Sometimes they will give you bread, like a communal thing of bread.
The bread basket.
And you have to use your hand to separate the bread, which involves holding the half of the bread that will remain and taking off the piece that you are taking, which means you have now touched this bread for the rest of the table.
I know. That's awkward.
Don't do this, restaurants.
I don't even eat the bread. I just don't eat it. So I'm like freaked out by...
It's like, well, I could use my utensils and make those communal so that we can cut this bread. I don't know.
Yeah.
Restaurants, don't do this.
Yeah.
The question for me is actually quite similar to yours. So it was like, yeah, dinner time was usually at the same time. Everybody would sit down and, you know, have a conversation. It didn't go on and on. Like it could be quick if it needed to, if it was like a work night. But yeah, it was pretty much always the same routine. And then, the mornings, it was just kind of like, do what you got
to
do.
Yeah.
Like nobody was like making breakfast every morning at all.
Yeah. Maybe on the weekends.
On the weekends, maybe.
Yeah. On the weekends.
Yeah. But on the weekday or like something, if I was like, you know, getting driven to school, like here, eat this in the car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now that we work at your mom's house, I've seen that she tends to eat her like big meal of the day, like around like late afternoon.
Yeah.
Like 2-3.
She eats breakfast early. Like they wake up really early. And then she has like a proper breakfast, like a pretty healthy breakfast. And then she has like a big-ish lunch around 1 or 2. And then she usually just has like something really small for dinner. So that's her new like meal plan. I've heard that like eating a big dinner and then going right to bed is like bad for you. Like the digestion is probably not great. So yeah, that's what she does now. Mm. But we used to have proper dinner time. And yes, my mom was also a big proponent. Like you have to clean your plate. Mm. You have to eat everything off your plate. So there was no like, I'm a good eater though. Like I will always clean my plate.
That was not... like ever said, but I was always like a big eater, so I don't think it was an issue.
Yeah, I'm a good eater. Like I have always been like a non-picky good eater though, so I think that wasn't a problem. I do remember the story about my cousin who could not clean his plate and he like dumped his food, his leftovers under the couch. And then I reached under the couch to get something and I got a handful of like rotten food. And then he got in big trouble.
Wow.
Yeah. There was also this one time where we were like messing around and we were like, what do you think Coke tastes like when we soak it in rice? Like we had a bowl of rice and like a can of Coke. Like what do you think Coke and rice tastes like? I bet it'd be like
cooked rice?
It was cooked rice. It's like, I bet it would be kind of good.
Oh, wow.
And we did it. And then my grandma walked by and she was like, you better eat that. You can't have any left. I had to choke it down. It was really bad.
Chug
it was so bad. Don't do that.
Coke horchata.
Coke and rice is not a good combination.
Well, now you know. We started with bad bathroom manners and ended with good table manners. So it kind of makes sense. Yes. This was a weird one.
I kind of liked it. I really like these bonus Q&As now. It just feels fun to
next week
do it.
At this time, we will be at PAX or on our way to PAX. Yeah. So the bonus Q&A might come out a little either earlier or later. Mm-hmm. I don't know yet.
Okay.
But it's going to be one of those. So keep y'all on your toes. But it will be coming. So you can look forward to that. We'll see y'all soon for that. Bye.
Bye.